Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Kate Ariano, and I'm here to give you the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. After complaints from UConn Health of insufficient quantities of the COVID-19 vaccine, the Connecticut National Guard provided a delivery of 1,000 vaccines to the hospital last week. Sam Katz reports for the Daily Campus that the hospital was forced to reschedule many first-dose vaccination appointments due to the shortage. The additional vaccines came from another location in Connecticut that had a surplus. Dr. Kim Metcalf, a vaccine coordinator for the hospital, said, "I am feeling good that we can provide this precious resource to our 75 years and older patient population when we know the vaccine supply is scarce." From now on, UConn Health said that the vaccine date scheduling will occur on a weekly basis due to the uncertainty of future vaccine deliveries. The UConn School of Nursing ranked number 14 on the U.S. News & World Report of top online neonatal nurse practitioner master's programs. Thomas Alvarez reports for the Daily Campus that this past year, the program placed 82 on the list. Sandra Bellini, director of the neonatal nurse practitioner track, said it was a big deal to be ranked so highly. She said, "There are thousands, literally thousands, of online master's degree programs in nursing." Bellini said that faculty expertise plays a large part in the success of the program, as well as the risks they took entering the very competitive environment for programs 5 years ago. The program is now one of the top five largest in the country. UConn researchers are back in the COVID-19 news again, this time with research about how to curb virus mutations. Grace McFadden reports for the Daily Campus that research from Sandra Weller, professor and chair of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biophysics at UConn Health, has teamed up with a group of researchers led by Vanderbilt University Medical Center's Mark Dennison. They're investigating the role of a specific enzyme in the COVID-19 virus in its mutation process. In a recent study by Dennison and other researchers, it was found that the enzyme could play a part in something called recombination, which is when an organism reproduces and two different parts of its genome get mixed together, causing new features to form in the organism. With six more weeks of winter, according to Punxsutawney Phil, UConn might have some weather cancellations on the horizon, but Rachel Phillipson reports for the Daily Campus that the school's new weather cancellation policy applies to in-person and online synchronous classes. University spokesperson Stephanie Reitz said, "If there is an early dismissal or cancellation due to inclement weather, both types of classes will be canceled." She said, "That approach recognizes that some students and faculty might have electrical outages or internet issues that could make it difficult for them to be online for classes." One student expressed support for the new policy, saying it promotes fairness toward students. Assistant Professor of Journalism Amanda Crawford shared her research about the impacts of misinformation and conspiracy theories on society's perception of the media last week. News correspondent Grace McFadden has the story.
On February 3rd, University of Connecticut Professor of Journalism Amanda Crawford gave a talk titled "Misinformation and the Media: Lessons from the Sandy Hook Shooting." The talk, which was part of the UConn Humanities Institute Fellows Talk Speaker Series, discussed journalism ethics in relation to the Sandy Hook school shooting in 2012 and how breaking news decisions contributed to later misinformation. Crawford is also working on an upcoming book on the subject as part of a fellowship with UCHI. Crawford started the talk by relating her research to some recent history.
"I started this project because I was growing increasingly concerned about misinformation and conspiracy theories invading public discourse. And in the years since then, that concern has only grown with greater urgency as we've seen conspiracy theories, hoaxes, and denials gain prominence in this country. They even inspired a deadly attack on the U.S. Capitol last month that was indeed an attack on democracy itself."
Crawford discussed the problem of misinformation in society and traced some of the current trends back to Sandy Hook. Before misinformation became as prominent in society as it is today, denial of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School revealed how outrageous ideas about current events could spread online, infect public discourse, and lead to real-world harm, she said.
"I think it is important to understand how we got here. and the aftermath of the massacre of 20 children and 6 adults in Newtown, Connecticut 8 years ago is one place to start.
Most of Crawford's talk focused on the mistakes made by the media in the breaking news coverage of Sandy Hook, which she referred to as absolute chaos. For example, conflicting reports about the weapons the shooter used have provided fodder for conspiracy theorists who point out discrepancies in reporting as a way to prove that the event was somehow faked.
As news was breaking about this event, there were so many different reports about the combination of weapons, and this has lasted around for years.
According to Crawford, Sandy Hook was the first shooting to really be subject to the social media news cycle. This meant that reporters and viewers were hunting for any information they could get, which in turn caused more errors in breaking news coverage.
In the first hours, as reporters were scrambling for information, they reported other shooters and other crime scenes. TV cameras showed images of people being arrested and handcuffed. For several hours the day of the shooting, the shooter's brother was named and labeled as a mass murderer.
In an interview a few days after the presentation, Crawford explains she chose to research Sandy Hook because it encapsulated the conflict around misinformation.
I wanted to find an area, a subject, a story, you know, a book, you know, a long story to follow, where you had, you know, kind of this battle between truth and lies and how it was going to play out over time.
Despite her criticisms, Crawford emphasized that journalists were only one piece of the misinformation puzzle and that good journalism is part of a functioning society.
I think journalists play a remarkably important role in society, but especially in American democracy, because if we have a government by and for the people, you need to be informed about what that government's doing and someone needs to hold the powerful accountable.
This is why Crawford studies journalism ethics.
When we produce ethical reporting, when we do the job right, when we seek the truth and facts, and that's our primary motivator, it's better for society. Now, does society trust us all the time right now? We've got a lot of work to do on that. And, you know, society has a lot of work to do on that too. It's not just on us.
For WHUS News, this is Grace McFadden reporting.
I've got a news forecast for those of you in the Mansfield and Storrs areas. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 27, but watch out for those wind chill values that can take temperatures to as low as -3. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low around 9, and tomorrow will be partly sunny again with a high near 28. Moving into the night, tomorrow night we'll have a chance of snow after 8 p.m., mixing with sleet after 4 a.m. It'll be cloudy with a low around 19. The snow and sleet accumulation is expected to be around an inch. Sunday, there's another chance of snow and sleet, mainly before 10 a.m. Otherwise, it's mostly cloudy, with a high near 31. Moving into Sunday night, it'll be mostly cloudy, with a low around 19 to round out your weekend. We will be right back.
You're chilling with the best, the one and only radio for the people, WHUS Storrs, 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. It is really, really cold in here. Like, wow. I can't feel my face.
As we move into our discussion segment of the show, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. All right, so here today I have Rita Plant, the operations manager of WHUS Radio. Rita, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. It's great to be on this side of Husky Nation News. I was interviewed for Husky Nation News by Kara, the previous news director last year.
Shout out, Kara.
Literally the same time of year too. I think that's.
Oh my God. Wait, you're so right. That's so weird. I didn't even think about that because that was, I mentored that recording. I was sitting there watching her interview you. That is crazy. Kara, if you're listening, this is insane.
It might be like two the week. We should figure that out. It's in my Snapchat memories. Let me look at that.
Please look that up because that's actually crazy. I
for all of you who don't know, I just randomly reached out to Rita and said, do you want to be on Husky Nation News this week and talk about your role at WUS? So the fact that I just had that urge, I think that might have been some kind of reckoning of fate, if you will.
Okay. No, it was March 6th. It was close to when the pandemic started. Okay.
Okay, good. Because if events were repeating themselves, I was about to get a little bit worried.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know you've hosted a couple Husky Nation News episodes for us last semester, and I hope you will this semester too.
Oh, I will. I've already got it on schedule. I'm excited. I like making Husky Nation News. It's fun.
Have you already thought about who you might interview?
I'm looking to get some sort of musical guest. Not like they're going to be performing music, but I want to interview like an artist or a band. I haven't picked someone yet, but it would be nice if they were, you know, someone that I'm listening to and like really like. But
yeah,
it would also be cool if they were, you know, local from Connecticut or from the Storrs area.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
So stay tuned, listeners, because at some point in the near future, Rita will be hosting Husky Nation News, which will give me a nice break, and I'm excited.
If you want to hear me on the air more often, I do have a regular music show as well.
Oh, what time does that air?
I have been doing that weekly, pretty consistently. Mm-hmm. I definitely submit it way later than I'm supposed to. But I have a music show on Thursdays at 4. Yeah, Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Nice. What's it called? Is there any special name for it?
It's called Lo-Fi Radio now. For the longest time, it was called Swimming in Sound, but then I changed it to Lo-Fi Radio because the production value went so down when we're not in the studio anymore. Yeah. I was like, lo-fi music is like when the production quality is kind of like bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, Lo-Fi Radio, right?
That's such a good idea. Yeah, that's so good for you for coming up with that. I like it. Really playing into the remote production that we've been doing here at WHUS since March? Yeah.
March of what?
I think March last year was the last time that anybody was in the station producing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My last show was, I think, March. It was either March 10th or March 11th. I used to do a new spin show, and I think I did a new spin show the last one. I had two shows back in last March.
Wow.
Yeah. I had my regular show, and then I had new spins. It's kind of sad, but...
Well, yeah. You've got one still going, so at least you can ride that out for the rest of the semester. So can you tell us, the listeners and me, a little bit about your role as operations manager at WHUS, what you do on the daily, what you've been doing since working remotely during the pandemic, because I know you are not located on campus right now. So tell us about what you've been up to.
Okay, so operations manager was a position that I was elected into after, you know, being involved at WUS as training director and a DJ and like committee member and all that. And what the operations manager title technically means is that I'm acting as both the vice president and the treasurer of WHUS, which means that I have some administrative duties and I'm also in charge of like the budget and financial sides. So I'll approve payroll for our board members, but I'll also help like supervise them and like check in meetings with them,
mm-hmm.
about with anything that they might need. You know, I've been involved since I was like a freshman, so I'm like one of the senior members now, which is sad, but yeah, so I'll just help people with anything that they might need. And you know, aside from the budgets and like administrative things, I kind of just take on my own projects and, you know, do things that I want to do. It's a very flexible position.
Mm-hmm.
Like out of all the positions on the executive board and the operations board, like operations manager is probably the most flexible in how you can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have as many administrative responsibilities as the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't have like as many set duties as like the news director would have. So I could kind of like pick and choose what I want to do. And like the main projects that I've decided to take on were running the zine. Zine is like a DIY magazine, and it just kind of gives our members other ways to express themselves outside of college radio, because you know not everyone wants to be on the air.
Yeah.
So I've given people, I've helped continue a legacy that was, you know, started by previous promotions directors, and, you know, give people a place to make digital art or like writing and, you know, publish it in a little magazine. So that's been pretty fun. And then the other main thing that I've done is website upgrades. I've done a lot of like back end stuff with WordPress to add in like an events page, new Husky Nation news page.
Thank you for that.
After the website, added a bunch of like committee meeting pages. I've done a lot of website stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And fun as well. But yeah, I'll go to like Battle of the Bands meetings, which is actually coming up soon.
Yes, it is.
Battle of the Bands, March 13th. More information on that will be coming out as the date approaches, but definitely keep an eye out. Yeah, all right. So that's what I knew it was.
So you said you've been involved since you were a freshman, right?
Yes. So, like, freshman year, fall semester 2017, I came on campus and, you know, I went to the involvement fair and I was figuring out, like, what I wanted to do. And I remember, like, wanting to be in a club where I could recommend music to people and people could, like, recommend music to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I found a music committee at WIS. And I went a couple times my freshman year. I was involved. I went, like, fall semester until, like, classes started picking up. And then I just stopped going for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved a little bit my freshman year, but I didn't get really involved until I did the DJ training my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all just kind of took off, like, at once, like, really quickly. I was a DJ for about a month and a half, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran for training director. I didn't even think I was going to get it. I didn't even go to the elections meeting to give my... But somehow, I thought no one ran against me, and that's why I got the position. But somehow, I won, and I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, I'll be training director. And then I just, like, really jumped into it, like, really hard, and, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it paid off in the end, and it kind of helped me kind of figure out what I wanted to do with my career as well, which was cool.
So what are you thinking as far as those post-grad plans? You know, you've got graduation, hopefully some kind of in-person graduation coming up this May.
So you know, when I like kind of originally came into college, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. I was an ACES major for my freshman and sophomore year for the most part. I wasn't like technically under ACES, which is like the undecided term at UConn. I wasn't technically ACES for all 2 years, but I changed my major 7 times
wow.
or something like that. I had no idea what I wanted to do, so I kept trying out different majors. But
what were all of those 7? I'm curious.
Okay, so I came in as ACES.
Yep.
Then I changed it to P&B, which is physiology and neurobiology, because for some reason I thought I could be a doctor. But then I took Bio 1107, and like 2 weeks into the course, I was like, I already have an exam. I didn't even know we learned something yet, so I dropped that course. Then I went back to ACES, I think. Then I went into actuarial science,
mm-hmm.
Which another one, they told me to take financial math, and I went in, and he's like, yeah, most, like, half of the people fail this class, and I was like, what? So I dropped that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, there was another one in there, but I can't remember what it was. No, I went to applied mathematics by itself,
mm-hmm.
and then mm-hmm. I added a comm as a double major, so I think it was technically... like 6 times, okay, it was 6 times, it wasn't 7. But I like had minors in there as well that I kept adding and dropping to. So I had no idea what I wanted to do in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really until working at WIS and like becoming training director that I saw like, there's a lot more to the music industry and the music business than just producing music and performing at concerts.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that goes into that, that you can do. And I was like, oh, okay. And that's kind of why I added in a communications major, because applied mathematics is really just useless unless you're going into a research position, because like all I'm doing is differential equations and like numerical analysis, which you don't use any of that in the real world.
Makes no sense to me, that's for sure.
You don't use any of that in the real world. Like, there's no like hardcore finance or accounting classes that I've taken.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I couldn't even do that if I wanted to. I would have to do research or teaching. And, you know, I've have a lot of experience in teaching, being training director, but that's just not what I'm interested in, not really what I want to do. So yeah, through working at WUS, I found like I've been introduced to so many different parts of the music industry, like events planning, marketing, like budgeting,
mm-hmm.
you know, all different aspects. And I've like, I've really gotten to see what my options are, mm-hmm. and see that, you know, I can make a successful career out of working in something that I enjoy. So after that, I kind of went after and like tried to find an internship, and I was able to intern at Manic Presents, which is one of the concert venues, not concert venues, it's like a concert promoter, mm-hmm. that organizes concerts at College Street Music Hall and Space Ballroom here in like Southern Connecticut and New Haven and Hamden. So that was pretty interesting. And, you know, unfortunately, the pandemic has really taken a hit.
Yeah.
Like, I've taken a pretty big hit from the pandemic, just like not being able to gain as much experience, because I did decide so late in my college career that I wanted to do this. So I didn't really get the chance to go into a music business program, and I missed out on a lot of internship opportunities. So I am pretty terrified about getting a job. I have had no luck so far. Mm-hmm. Had a couple internships, but or interviews, but like not really much has come from anything yet. So it's pretty terrifying, but have no specific field that I'm really interested in going into. I love concerts and events, so I would love to do that, but you know, it's pretty hard to apply to those when it's there's nothing happening.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to go more towards public relations. But,
okay.
Yeah. I know, like, that was really long-winded, but.
That's all right. I know like a little bit about public relations. I'm also kind of looking into that field / like external communications. So I kind of know where you're headed.
Yeah. It's so interesting though, because like it's journalism, but it's also kind of marketing. It's a medium in there. So.
They actually call it the dark side of journalism, which makes me feel pretty bad about my major, which is journalism. You know, but at the same time, you are on the other side. You're the one that's withholding the information, and you know, making your company or wherever it is that you're working look the best. And journalists want to expose the bad things. Not all the time, but like that's part of their job, is to make sure that you're keeping your company accountable. And the PR person has to clean up all that mess. So two very different fields. So another thing that I wanted to ask you, you know, WHUS has kind of helped you find what you want to do with your life, which is incredible. Like, this station did that.
Yeah.
What have been some of the other really great memories that you're going to hold of WHUS when you leave?
Of WHUS? So many. It's kind of sad. Like, I feel like I missed out on a lot just in this year, and like just the end of my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just a random March, like random day in March, like my entire college career pretty much just ended.
Yeah.
But like so much like limbo ever since then. Like I go to, it's like the same day every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were to tell me that today's date was like April 4th, 2020, I would believe you, because every day has felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
The passage of time has just been so crazy. So
yeah.
It's like I've held on and like looked back on a lot of things from my time at WUS and just felt like not disappointed, but just wish I could like go back and appreciate them more. And just even if it was like as mundane as just being in office hours in the it's called the board office that we had, mm-hmm. and just like talking with everyone and just seeing everyone every day in person, or just like going to new music committee meetings in the big room and just like hanging out and just being at the station.
Yeah.
Something that I really miss, because it has like it's like a safe space on campus for so many people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I would go there in between classes. I would go there before I had my shift at like the convenience store downstairs. And I would go there all the time. It was just, it was a nice place to like be away from my classes and my apartment and all those things. And it's just, I miss that. Also, like the concerts that we held were so much fun. We would go to like the Vernon Diner afterwards at like 2 a.m. and just like order breakfast at the diner and just like hang out. It was like so much fun. But yeah, it's been tough, like realizing that I'm still here but not being able to do all those things. It sucks, but you know.
I kind of feel that sentiment of, you know, feeling like, you know, maybe I should have gone to that meeting, or maybe I should have, I don't know, spent more time in the office, because, you know, when I left, I was still just a committee member. I wasn't news director. And so I was a little intimidated because I really wasn't that involved in the other departments. Cause I was, you know, I can be a little shy sometimes, especially around people that like other people know really well. And I'm just like, oh, hi, you know? So I definitely wish, you know, I went to more meetings, talked to people more, just like resided in the station more and got to meet, you know, got to hang out with you more and the board more. And, you know, cause there's so many people that are here now that were definitely in the station before we left. So it sucks. And yeah, I wish I cherished those moments.
I feel really bad for like the people who came into the board this year and weren't involved at all at WIS prior.
Mm-hmm.
They never really got to build that bond with each other. It's like,
yeah.
I see like members of the board who are out living on campus. They've been able to like connect with each other like at a more like, you know, in-person level than like the rest of us. Yeah. And it kind of sucks because like I felt like most of my friends were from WIS, and yeah, it's just been tough not being able to be around your friends all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well, on the bright side, you know, we've got vaccine rollout. It's, you know, we're moving through phase 1B, and I'm hopeful that by the end of the semester, you know, we'll all be able to have some kind of WHUS event, maybe where we can all see each other in person, even if it is just that once. But I've got high hopes. I'm crossing my fingers, my toes, my eyes, just about everything I can.
Me too. I remember last semester we did, they set up a stage on Sherman Field,
mm-hmm.
behind the field house, and we got to have like an in-person concert that was like socially distanced. Everyone was wearing masks. Everything was safe. It was outside. And that made everything feel normal for one day. And mm-hmm. I was able to like go up to campus and like see everyone and like go to a concert, which was like the one thing that I loved more than anything else in the world.
Well, hopefully we'll have the opportunity to make new memories virtually and hopefully in person this semester. But it's been so nice to talk to you today. So thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
All right, I'll see ya.
Bye.
I'd like to thank Rita once again for chatting with me this week. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, as always. And thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music. Special shout out and a special thank you to Brendan Casey and East River Caviar for those background tunes. And thank you, listeners. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a wonderful weekend.